Chapter 10. The Acuity. Sonika had never travelled by teleport before. It wasn't an experience he'd care to repeat. It made him feel sick and disoriented, as if he'd been put back together the wrong way around. The Astartes showed no sign of being remotely discomforted. The teleport arrays of the battle barge had relocated them all, Imperials and Cabal aliens alike, from the dank cave to a wet rock platform at the halting site, just below the gilded lip of the Cabal's parked vessel. The landing at the halting site had churned up the local atmosphere. It was raining hard, and a vapour like steam was rising from the cubic blocks and the oil-black pools. The encircling cliffs of the shivering hills surrounded them in a ring 40 kilometres in diameter. The water particles in the air had created a fabulous half-rainbow over the steaming bowl of the halting site. The Cabal's immense vessel, dazzling with gold and copper reflections, was too vast to comprehend. Sonika looked at it for a while, seeing it as a budding flower opening its fimbriate petals to the sky, or a crown of oddly twisted thorns. He realized at length that it was simply too big, too alien, too unparalleled for his mind to accommodate without collapsing into madness. He looked away. He'd seen enough of the extraordinary for one lifetime. "It's," Roxana mumbled, "it's simply..." "I know," Sonika said, and gently turned her aside to look at the rim of black cliffs through the rain. "It's best not to look at it for too long."
"What have we got ourselves into, Beto?" she asked.
He smiled. "I really don't know any more. We've played our parts. I don't believe we matter at all now. A great destiny is being shaped, I think. Can't you feel it? The weight of future ages hanging over us?" She nodded and hooked her rain-plastered hair off her face.
"Absolutely," she said.
"This is a task for stronger minds," said Sonika. "Post-human minds, not our weak brains. We have to trust the Astartes to do what they were created to do. We have to trust them to keep our species safe."
"Do you trust them, Peto?" Roxana asked.
"We both carry their mark, Uxor," he said. "I think it's far too late to ask that question." She looked around. A considerable way away down the rainswept platform, Grammatica sat hunched under the guard of an Astartes.
"He hates us," she said.
"Of course he does," said Sonika. "We betrayed him."
"That was hard to do," she said, "to use him."
"He's used everybody, every step of the way," Sonika replied. "He'll get over it. It may not have gone the way he'd have liked it to, but we got him what he wanted."
"No, you have to understand. I loved him," she said. "Or I thought I did. And I thought he loved me. I didn't understand what he was, even when he told me to my face. I didn't understand the scale of it all."
"You were never supposed to," said Sonika. "Pawns are never supposed to perceive the game as a whole." A golden ramp, like a curving tongue, had extended from the rim of the Cabal vessel to meet the edge of the stone platform. The Astartes, bolters ready, had begun to steer the huddle of alien sentience up into the craft. Some whimpered or murmured as they were herded along. Slaudar, the great autarch, walked with his crested head up, ignoring the trained bolters.
"Signal relayed from the battle barge," Herzog said to Alpharius. "Content?" "Lord Commander Namajira requests personal vox audience. He worries that you have begun the meeting without him."
"Tell him I can't be reached at this time," said Alpharius. "Tell him to maintain position and keep his forces on standby."
"He won't like it," said Herzog.
"That's his problem,"
Omegon replied. I probably shouldn't tell him that, though, should I? Asked Herzog. Tell him I appreciate his patience, and I will contact him directly, said Alpharius. They boarded the copper craft. Its internal compartments bore no relation to a ship of human design. Odd spaces opened out into curious chambers or turned back on themselves like a maze. The walls glowed softly with inner radiance. In places the ceiling seemed to soar away forever. Sonica felt muddled and uncomfortable. The air smelled like burnt sugar and fused plastic. They were left alone for a while in a chamber formed from three golden petals.
What's that noise? Roxana asked.
I don't hear anything, said Sonica.
It's in my sept, then, like a swarm of bees.
First Captain Peck appeared and strode over to them. The Primarch has called for you, Peto, he said.
Me?
He needs you. Follow me.
Sonica glanced at Roxana.
Go on, she urged.
Peck led him through the luminous halls of the Cabal vessel to a chamber where Alpharius, Omegon, and Shear were waiting.
My lord, asked Sonica. The Cabal is about to display the acuity to us, Peto, Alpharius told him. As far as we can tell, it's a perception device, a means of temporal lensing, based on Eldar principles of far-seeing.
Yes, Lord. I don't really understand anything you just said.
We're about to have the future revealed to us, said Omegon.
Sirs, why did you send for me? Asked Sonica.
I need to determine, as accurately as I possibly can, the viability of what they are about to show us, said Alpharius. I have suggested that the witnesses should be Omegon and myself, Shear from the Psyker perspective, and you as an unmodified human. Do you consent?
Sir,
Do you consent? Demanded Omegon. We haven't got time to waste.
Sonica nodded.
I will do whatever I can, my lords, he replied.
Thank you, Peto, said Alpharius.
We're ready, he called out.
A wall that had seemed solid parted like smoke. The four men walked into the chamber beyond, side by side. It was dark, and lit by a ruddy glow that seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere. Ahead of them, a monolithic slab of silver light shivered in the darkness.
I am Garhet.
I am Alpharius, Primarch of the 20th Legion Astartes, Alpharius replied.
Welcome. Let us know the others and your other self.
I am Omegon, Primarch of the 20th Legion Astartes, said Omegon.
Welcome. Den Dang Keat Shear, welcome.
Shear bowed.
Peto Sonica, welcome.
Hello, said Sonica. You're inside my head.
I am.
That's not entirely pleasant, said Sonica.
Oh, get a backbone, Het, snapped Omegon.
You are prepared to observe the acuity?
Yes, said Alpharius. Any tricks will result in our bolters dismantling this vessel piece by piece. Are we understood?
Yes. You are a violent species, human. You threaten quickly. The violence will come later, and will be entirely your business.
Get on with it, said Omegon.
We have battled to deny the primordial annihilator for longer than you have been evolved. Chaos cannot be permitted to gain control of the galaxy.
This fact has already been established, Garhet, said Alpharius.
The human race is virile,
It thrives, unruly and audacious. It is, in its ignorance, especially susceptible to the influence of chaos. The primordial annihilator has buried its fingers into mankind, intending to turn it into a weapon.
Mankind will resist, said Altharius.
You will not know how to resist. The primordial annihilator is cunning. It will trigger civil war within the Imperium of Man and bring all creation crashing down. See.
The slab of silver light trembled and opened. They saw what was inside it. It felt as if they were falling from orbit onto a burning world. Shear began to weep.
This is our veridical testimony. This is the future, as it will happen. The great war will erupt across the firmament and engulf the human race. The stars will go out, the annihilator will rise.
No, said Omegon bluntly. His eyes were wide.
You cannot deny it, Omegon. It is a process already underway.
You damn liar, Omegon roared, and looked away from the Acuity's vision.
I cannot lie. I do not lie. The human race will become the absolute masters of teratogeny. They will create the greatest monster of all. Horus.
Sonica's mind was numb. What he had witnessed made the sight of the giant copper craft seem unremarkable.
How do we stop this? He asked with a trembling voice.
You don't. But the Alpha Legion Astartes is perfectly placed to control and direct it.
Explain, Altharius demanded.
The civil war brought against the Emperor by Horus Lupercal will end one of two ways. Either Horus will win and chaos will triumph, or the Emperor's forces will prevail and drive chaos into retreat.
The Alpha Legion has always, always been for the Emperor, Altharius stated.
The slab of silver light flickered.
Regard, then, the future. Horus wins, and chaos triumphs. A terrible prospect, but likely. The Cabal sees a scintilla of honor remaining in bright Lupercal. He will secretly hate himself for the atrocities committed in his name. If he wins, his fury will accelerate along with his self-loathing. He will immolate the human species inside two or three generations. The self-destructive, redemptive urge in Horus will drive him to exterminate mankind in shame. Even his closest allies will war against him in a final Armageddon. Chaos will burn brighter than ever before and will then be extinguished. Its great victory will flare and then gutter as the dying Imperium takes it to the grave. The races of the galaxy will be spared through the sacrifice of the human race.
Horus will not be allowed to win, Omegon retorted.
Consider the alternative, Omegon Primarch. This is what we have far seen. The Emperor will give his life to achieve victory. He will fall at Terra, striking Horus down. This will be his destiny. See.
The silver light shimmered. They saw the magnificence of the golden throne and the howling rictus of the wizened cadaver locked inside it.
Oh, my lord, Sonica cried.
If the Emperor wins, stagnation will seize the Imperium.
It will seek to perpetuate itself over and again across thousands of years, but it will decay slowly and surely. It will decay and gradually allow chaos to seep back in and consume it.
Victory is defeat, asked Alpharius softly.
If the Emperor wins, Alpharius, chaos will ultimately triumph. 10, 20,000 years of misery and rot will follow, until the primordial annihilator at last achieves ascendancy.
This is the choice? Asked Omegon.
He laughed bleakly. The slow, inexorable conquest of chaos, or a brief period of terror and frenzy. Creeping damnation, or a bloody century or two as the human race rips itself apart and expunges chaos from the galaxy. This is the choice we present to you. The human race is a weapon. It can save the galaxy or destroy it.
This is hardly a choice at all, Garhet, said Alpharius.
I pity you, human. It is not, but you are pragmatic. That is your abiding virtue. You see the long view. You make the hard decisions. Alpharius, the stagnant future must be denied.
How do we do that? Asked Omegon. How do you propose we do that, you alien bastard?
It is perfectly simple, Omegon. The Alpha Legion must side with the rebels. You must ensure that Horus wins.
Never! Snarled Omegon. It is unthinkable, Alpharius yelled.
Then see the result. See it. See it for yourselves. The silvery glow shivered again. They flinched. They saw it all in the space of a moment. The acuity showed them everything. Omegon and Alpharius staggered backwards, screaming. Shear burbled furiously and then fell down, stone dead, his mind destroyed. Sonica sank to his knees and wept.